You're listening to The Signal Daily.
Hello, I'm Manaswini, your host for The Signal Daily podcast. This is the episode for 18th April 2024. For today's lineup, we are talking about space junk and what are the risks associated with it. And for the second segment, we are taking a close look at Taylor Swift's massive influence on the world economies and the retail space. Stay tuned till the end for a very fun episode. Last month, a very odd-looking object crashed through the roof and two floors of a home in Naples, Florida. Perhaps you've seen photos of it on Twitter. It was very alien-like. And as many people had suspected all along, NASA recently confirmed that this object indeed came from the International Space Station. According to a blog post by NASA, this debris came from a stanchion from its flight support equipment that was used to mount the batteries on the cargo pallet in 2021. The hardware was expected to fully burn up during entry through Earth's atmosphere on March 8, 2024, the agency had said, but it turns out that a piece of the hardware weighing roughly a kilo survived re-entry and crashed through the Florida house, nearly injuring its owners. Now, this incident has stirred the conversation towards space junk or space debris because, you know, beyond this Florida case, there are several other cases of space debris crashing at random places. Like in 2022, pieces of space junk from a Chinese rocket landed in multiple locations in Maharashtra. And that same year, a farmer in New South Wales in Australia had found a strange piece stuck to the ground on his land. Some ISRO rocket pieces also landed in Australia in 2023. Now, thankfully, none of these incidents were fatal. But there is one known incident from 1997 when one person by the name of Lottie Williams was hurt when space debris landed on her shoulder. This happened in the US and the piece was believed to be linked to Delta II rocket. So firstly, how much space junk is there? Well, with more and more space exploration projects and an increasing interest in the space economy, outer space is getting littered with metal pollution. Currently, more than 2,200 operational satellites are orbiting the Earth, plus leftovers of inoperative satellites and rockets. So yeah, things just don't simply disappear into the vast space. According to the European Space Agency, or ESA, there are 34,000 pieces of debris that are 10 centimeters in diameter or larger, roughly 900,000 objects between 1 to 10 centimeters, and more than 1,28,000 pieces under 1 centimeter. Now, the mass of debris in Earth's orbit comes to nearly 7 million kilograms. And this debris size is only going to get bigger in the near future as companies like Amazon and SpaceX plan to launch thousands of satellites for better internet coverage. Now, it's not very easy to track when or where debris will fall, but often small satellites will burn up upon re-entry, but parts of larger satellites might survive the fall to the Earth's surface. In fact, usually they are aimed at a specific place over the South Pacific Ocean that is called spacecraft cemetery. But then there are spacecraft like the Chinese Long March 5B rockets that have uncontrolled re-entry, meaning they can fall anywhere. And that did happen in 2021, when debris from Long March came back home, fell on villages in the Ivory Coast, causing some structural damage. Another fell near Maldives and a third fell over Indonesia and Malaysia. But what are the risks associated with space debris? Can it be fatal? Well, ESA estimates the risk of a person being hit is very, very tiny. It's less than 1 in 100 billion. But a new study published in Nature Astronomy found that there is a 10% chance of one or more casualties over the next decade on an average as the number of space junk re-entry increases. While agencies are looking at how to get rid of space trash, the big problem currently is a legal one. Everything is non-binding and voluntary, so perhaps a treaty will have to be the first step here. For our second segment, we are going to bring you deep dives on stories from the world of technology, business, policy, and anything that leaves you with food for thought. Tomorrow is a very important day for Swifties because the mega pop star Taylor Swift is releasing her 11th studio album, The Tortured Poets Department. Now, leading up to the release of the latest album, all merchandise has unsurprisingly sold out on the musician's official website. However, third-party platforms like Etsy, Amazon.com, and print-on-demand sites such as Redbubble are thriving thanks to Swiftonomics. According to Bloomberg, nearly all the fans have picked up Taylor-related items in the past year, and more than half of them have bought unofficial merch as per a February survey by QuestionPro. and folks who attend Swift's concerts reportedly spend an average of $242 on Swift-inspired clothing and accessories, be it licensed or not. In fact, in the last 6 months, as Swift toured across the US and fans exchanged friendship bracelets to commemorate their attendance, Etsy sellers pocketed $3 million from these bracelet sales alone. I mean, imagine, these aren't even official Taylor Swift-themed friendship bands or anything. They're just simple bracelets representing the Swifties community. And yet, who's benefiting from this? Platforms like Etsy and Amazon. So yes, this is truly Taylor Swift's world and we're just living in it, quite literally. And I'm sure you're already aware that the singer has now joined the billionaire club with a net worth of $1.1 billion. And so far, she's the only musician who has earned this status just by writing and performing all her songs, unlike other artists who also have other brands under their name. But am I surprised? Not really. It's not the first we have heard of this woman breaking records now, is it? So this pop star has not only treated her fans with some insane Eras Tour concerts and boosted sales on retail websites, but she has also single-handedly impacted economies around the world, particularly in the US, with her gigs alone. I may sound dramatic, but it's almost like everything she touches turns to gold. But anyway, let me briefly break down the economics of Taylor Swift and how the Eras Tour even created geopolitical tensions in the Southeast Asia. So when the singer kicked off her world tour last year, ticketing giants like Ticketmaster and SeatGeek witnessed a massive demand as fans flooded stadiums across the US, bringing in $544 million. And that's not all. On a global scale, the tour pulled in an estimated $1.04 billion in ticket sales, making it the first tour ever to hit the billion-dollar mark. Actually, let me give you the most obvious example of Taylor Swift's effect. National Football League, or the NFL. And yes, Swifties, I am going there. But for those who aren't aware, when news broke that Swift was dating Travis Kelce, a player for the Kansas City Chiefs, NFL games suddenly got more eyeballs, and Chiefs kits flew off the shelves. In fact, after Swift showed up at one of Kelce's games, his jersey sales apparently went through the roof, spiking by 400% overnight. And as of Jan 2024, Swift's link to the Chiefs and the NFL has boosted their brand value by a whopping $331.5 million. See, I told you, everything she touches turns to gold. And last summer, when Swift performed 6 shows in LA, experts predicted a $320 million increase for the county. Meanwhile, the Common Sense Institute estimated that Taylor's performances in Denver contributed around $140 million to Colorado's economy. And thanks to her, Americans have so far spent approximately $4.6 billion, and it's also on track to surpass $5 billion. But Taylor Swift's effect is not just limited to the US. In the last month, Swift's string of 6 sold-out concerts in Singapore, held from March 2nd to 9th, is predicted to bring in a tourism revenue of $260 to $375 million. And Bloomberg's report also indicates Singapore's GDP is on track to grow by 2.9% in the first quarter, which is its strongest growth in the last 6 quarters. But Singapore had to pay a price for this economic boost. The tropical island country literally paid $3 million per show to secure exclusive rights to host Swift, sparking some obvious discontent from neighboring countries like Thailand and Philippines. Japan, on the other hand, stood out as the only East Asian stop for the Eras Tour, and it's expected to rake in about 34.1 billion yen, or roughly $299.6 million, according to the research platform Economic Effects NET. But it's safe to say that Taylor Swift is unstoppable. But is she the only musician who can change economies on this scale? Not quite. Beyoncé's Renaissance World Tour is another example, bringing in an estimated $4.5 billion for the American economy, just slightly less than Swift's impact. If you like listening to The Signal Daily, please show us some support. Rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'd love to hear what you have to say about this podcast. So feel free to shoot an email at hello@thesignal.co. The episode was researched, written and produced by Shorbury and me, Manaswini. Edited by Venkat Anand, mastered and mixed by Yash Hirve. You can catch this podcast every morning on Spotify, Apple, Amazon Prime Music, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are thesignal.co on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter.